So we are turning the corner, if you will, on discovering the disciples' path. Today we're looking at toiling in our task. We begin that aspect of being on the path, thinking about the idea of serving. We've talked about pillars in place, which is knowing the foundations as believers, as disciples in Jesus. We talked about the action of advancement, which was the last part of this series, which is dealing with our spiritual growth. And now we're looking at toiling in our task, which specifically is about serving and doing the life of a disciple. So this is definitely part of the disciple's journey. Now understand, as we think about serving, serving's not something that you wait for until you've grown enough. It's what we do once we have been born again. We follow Jesus and we serve him. And so we're looking at serving the Lord today. And there are far too many Christians who feel that they can claim the name of Jesus for some kind of fire insurance and then sit back and never sense a desire to do anything to serve the Lord. But being a disciple, friends, being a disciple of Jesus involves more than just being. It also includes doing. Can I get a witness? Amen. It includes doing. So let's look at serving as our serving reveals who we are as disciples. Now, we come to a passage of Scripture today in Joshua. Chances are good that this is a very familiar passage of Scripture today to you. As we come to this passage, it's at the close to the very end of Joshua's life where he challenged the children of Israel to renew their covenant of loyalty to the Lord. And we come to that passage in Joshua 24, looking at verses 14 and verse 15. It says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it's evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We pray that you would have your way in us, that you would guide us now to direct us, Lord, to hear from you, that we would take the word and apply it to our hearts and lives, that we would understand that being a disciple is more than just being. It also includes doing. As we walk through this part of our series in the next few weeks, may you continue to guide us, Lord, to know how we are to serve, and as we're serving, to know that we're serving you. And so, Lord, now may you be with every heart, every life. May we be open and receptive to your Spirit's moving. And, Lord, we pray that the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, as we look at this particular passage of Scripture, when we look first off, the first point, if you were able to download the bulletin and bring that in, or if you have it on the app, you see there's 5 points. But it'll be all right. I really will be. And so we're going to look first off that serving indicates loving. Serving indicates loving. And so the first part there in verse 14 says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness." Sincerity and faithfulness is the key part of that verse that I want us to look at for just right now. When he says to serve, to fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness, that means with integrity. It means blamelessly. It means wholeheartedly, giving it all that we've got. Serving wholeheartedly indicates a passion for the one who's being served. It is serving with a willing mind because of love. So serving indicates loving. Serving indicates love for others, but more importantly, as we serve the Lord, beloved, we're serving him because of our love for him. So here's the bottom line, that if you love him, you will serve him. Amen? Amen? Right. If you love the Lord, then you will serve the Lord. You know, John 21, after Jesus had been crucified and resurrected, you remember that passage of Scripture as well where the disciples are on the fishing and Jesus comes that morning and Peter jumps out of the boat, comes to the place where Jesus is. He'd fixed breakfast. And you remember that story in John 21. And Jesus asked Peter there by the sea, "Do you love me?" And he asked him 3 times, if you recall. And each time that Peter would reply, Jesus gave a task. He would say, "Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Tend my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep." So here's the thing is that if you love me, Jesus says, then obey me. If you love me, then serve me. If you love me, then follow me. You see, friends, you must first love the Lord in order to truly serve him. You see, serving the Lord not out of love is simply a religious obligation. Serving the Lord not out of love is seeking to earn his favor. And so that serving the Lord not out of love is not serving the Lord, rather it's serving our own interest. Loving the Lord is our motivation to serve him. And why is that? It's because he first loved us. Beloved, you know, when I think about all that the Lord has done for me, just singing these songs this morning and thinking about how he has ransomed us and rescued us and redeemed us and saved us, you know, I am overwhelmed. And I'm overwhelmed because of what he's given me, mainly his cross, that he has given me what I have not worked for, what I have not deserved. He has given me his grace. As we look back one verse in verse 13 in Joshua 24, Joshua says to the people, I gave you a land on which you had not labored. The Lord is speaking through Joshua. I gave you a land on which you had not labored and cities that you had not built, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards, the fruit of the vineyards and olive orchards that you did not plant. They had this land, this glorious land which God had chosen them and brought them to this land. It was not anything that they deserved. It was not anything that they worked for, but God gave it to them because of his goodness and his grace. And it reminds the people of God's goodness and grace to them. And so we also are reminded of God, that God has given us his grace, that he has given us that which we have not worked for, that which we do not deserve, that he has provided for our salvation, because without him, we perish. Without him, we spend eternity in hell. Without him, we abide under the wrath of God, and we dwell in darkness forever. But he has given us what we cannot work for, which is the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen. Serving is loving him. Once we're saved, listen, once we're saved and become disciples of Jesus, we love him because we know where we were and where we are now. And we love the Lord because what he has done in our hearts and done for us. And as we love him, our love for him then propels us to serve. Serving indicates that we love the Lord. Then secondly, serving indicates not only loving, but serving indicates leaving. Serving indicates leaving. Look at verse 14 again, the next part. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. So put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and Egypt. So an indication here of this serving is indicating leaving the old life. When we serve the Lord, that shows something about us, that we have left the old life. It shows that we have put away the gods of this world, and that our priorities are straight, and that he is first in our hearts and lives. As we choose to serve the one true living God, it's an indication, friends, to all people and to ourselves even, that we have left the old life. And those things no longer have a call and a reach for me, but now I'm following Jesus, who is the one true living God. I've left the old life. As God's people, we've left the old gods of self and sin, and now we are totally consecrated and totally devoted. We are now sold out to him, and we are all in because we belong to the Lord Jesus. And so as we're serving him, we're saying to him, I am a new creation. So Lord, here is my life, and use me because I'm yours. And as I'm yours, Lord, I'm totally yours. That means, Lord, I'm yours not only on Sunday morning at the hour which I'm at church, but I'm yours when I leave the church. Lord, I'm yours when I'm driving down Interstate 95. Lord, I'm yours when I'm at my workstation. Lord, I'm yours when I'm in front of my computer. Lord, I'm yours when I'm talking to my wife or my husband. I'm yours when I'm speaking to my children and my grandchildren. Lord, I'm yours no matter what time of day, no matter where I am, I am yours. I'm totally committed to you. I'm totally surrendered to you. I forsake all else, and I follow you, Jesus. I'm obeying you and serving you. Because Jesus called the disciples to come and follow me. And what did they do? But they left their nets and they left their family businesses and even their family to follow the Lord. They left the gods of self and the gods of sin even, to follow the Lord. The Bible says, put away the gods that your fathers served. Put away the gods that your fathers served. You say, well, boy, that's Old Testament. We don't have to worry about that now, especially in America. We don't have those gods anymore. Oh, really? Well, here's the thing, friends. We don't live in a godless society. But rather, we live in a society that is full of humanistic, self-serving gods that are vying for our attention constantly. And so you serving the Lord discloses who you belong to. It shows who you are serving. So the question is have you left the gods of this world, or are you serving the gods of this world? And the gods of this world are the gods of work and the gods of recreation, the gods of success, the gods of power and prestige. These are the gods that are vying for our attention that we easily give into and give over to. But serving the Lord is saying, it's no longer my life, but I have left the gods of this world, and now I serve not a dead God, a God that leads me nowhere, but I serve the risen Savior who is living now and forever. Amen? That's who I serve. I serve the Lord. I serve Him. I've left the gods of this world. I serve the risen Savior, the one who loved me and gave Himself for me on Calvary's cross. I serve the living God, not the worthless gods of this world. So serving the Lord indicates loving. Serving the Lord indicates leaving. And then thirdly, serving indicates labor. Serving indicates labor. Serving the Lord means labor. The end of verse 14 again, where he says, and serve the Lord. The word serve itself means to work. It means to do service. It means to be a bond slave. It means to obey. It means to follow the Lord. It means as we're serving, meaning labor, it means that we're going to do whatever he commands, that we're going to do whatever he commands, wherever he guides, whenever he says. So serving, this idea of serving, is exemplified in Jesus, who left the glory and the splendor of heaven and came in the form of a servant. And since he came in the form of a servant and he serves us and served us, then that's emulated in us as disciples. So as disciples, that means that we're humbly working, humbly doing, serving, obeying for his glory. And so this means we labor for our master, we labor for our king, we labor for our Lord. And how do we do that? As we serve others, we're serving the Lord. As we serve other people, we serve the Lord. So where do you get that from? Well, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 25. He says, for I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. You see, serving others is serving the Lord. And this serving indicates labor and sometimes being very uncomfortable. It includes work and doing. It's doing the task as disciples. But understand this, as we think about the work and the labor of meeting needs and pointing people to Jesus and serving people and doing this work, and understand that this labor, our work, is a labor of love. The Bible tells in Psalm 100 verse 2, you know this verse, serve the Lord with gladness. Because as disciples, as believers in Jesus, as people of God, our service, beloved, is not a drudgery. It is a delight. It's not a burden, but it is a blessing because it's a labor of love. I can't tell you the numerous times that I have gone to be a blessing to someone and to encourage them, and I walk away the one blessed because of it. Amen. Beloved, we serve the Lord. Yes, it's labor, but it's a labor of love. Is that true for you? Or is it more like for us, what I once heard somebody say, we like to sing, we like to come to church, and we like to sing, I surrender all, when in reality, we surrender very little. Or we like to sing, serve the Lord with gladness, and then we gripe and complain about all we got to do. Or we like to sing, I love to tell the story, but then we never mention it at all. Or we like to sing Onward Christian Soldiers, and we act as if we're being drafted into service when we're approached by the nominating committee. So I wonder which one we are, all right? Which one are we as we think about our lives as disciples of Jesus Christ? Serving indicates labor, but it is a labor of love. Serving indicates loving and leaving and labor. And then fourthly, serving also indicates loyalty. Look at verse 15. And if it's evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. So here's the question. Serving indicates loyalty, so where do your loyalties lie? As you think about your life as a disciple, just where are your allegiances? Where is your commitment? Who or what is your God? As you think about doing life, what's most important to you? Where do you spend the bulk of your time? What's the thing that you focus on more than anything else? Beloved, it needs to be Jesus. Serving indicates loyalty. You see, what we're doing in our service and for whom we're serving are indicators of where our true loyalties in life are. Serving is an indicator where we're truly committed. When we're serving the Lord, it's an indicator that we belong to Him. And so some people are hearing me today and you're thinking, okay, so does serving the Lord mean that I must serve in the church? Well, no, that doesn't mean you have to serve in the church, even though God has gifted some of you to serve, and you need to serve in those areas, and we certainly need people to serve in the church in various places and, you know, in all areas, all facets of church life. But what we're talking about here is that serving the Lord means that you will serve not so much in the church, but as the church in the world. Y'all with me? Serving the Lord means that we will serve Him as the church in the world. So we will serve Him in our careers. And we will serve Him on our sports teams. And we will serve Him in our civic organizations. And we will serve Him as we volunteer at the food banks. Wherever we are, we will serve the Lord there. We will work as unto the Lord in those places. But it is vitally important that as you're serving the Lord in those places, that you do two things. One, that you are an example of what it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and then you also speak about Jesus and what He has done in your life as to why you're doing what you're doing. Amen? Otherwise, it's just a nice gesture that you've just done. We must make sure that we're serving the Lord and that we're doing this for Him. Wherever we are, we serve the Lord right there. Meeting people where they are and pointing them to Jesus. You may have heard that a time or two in the past 5 years. You're going to keep hearing it too, all right? To meet people where they are and point them to Jesus. Making sure that He is the priority in all things. Remembering who is the Lord. Remembering who's the King. Remembering who's my master. And serve Him. As disciples in all things, we're to be loyal to our King and committed to our Master and dedicated to the Lord. In Colossians 3:23, and we're going to look at this verse next Sunday, but here we see it again today. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work heartily as to the Lord and not for men. So whatever you do, what does that mean in the Greek? It means whatever you do, right? So whatever you do, do heartily with all of your heart, as unto the Lord, not unto men. So let's keep our loyalties straight. Choosing whom you will serve. Serve the Lord and be faithful to Him in all things, at every turn, in all places, wherever you are. Serve Him in the church, but serve Him as the church in the world. Amen? Amen. Serving indicates loving. It indicates leaving. It indicates labor. It indicates loyalty. And serving the Lord also indicates leadership. And there's verse 15 again says, we read this, which is of these two verses, this is the particular passage in those two verses that we tend to remember more than any other. Where Joshua says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so what Joshua's doing here, this serving the Lord indicates leadership. And so Joshua is saying here, he is resolved that no matter, listen, that no matter what others were doing, no matter what others did, no matter what everyone else was choosing or what everyone else has chosen, no matter what everyone else was saying, no matter what everyone else has said, that he would serve the Lord. That there'd be no other gods for him, only the one true living God, the Lord Almighty. So Joshua was saying, listen, friends, listen, children of Israel, make a choice. Make a choice to follow the Lord or to follow the gods of this world. But he said, but here's what I'm going to do. You make your choice, but I've made mine. Here's what I'm going to do. Me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Joshua here was willing to take the lead, to swim against the stream, to make his choice plain that he would not sit on the sidelines. When you think about as Joshua is challenging the children of Israel, he is an old man at this point. He is well into his 90s, maybe even 100, maybe older at this point, where he is challenging the children of Israel to live it out. And so as an old man, you think about Joshua, he has been in the wilderness. He has seen it all. And now he's an old man, and when he could have just taken a back seat and said, no, you guys do what y'all want to do, I'm going to be fine. No, he didn't do that. He took the lead. He said, look, this is what I'm going to do. Even to my last breath, I'm going to serve the Lord. And why is that? Because he knew that there's only one Lord. There's only one God. Who is a powerful God, a majestic God, a living God, who is able to do all things. He says, I'm going to serve him. And my family's going to serve him. The heritage that he was leaving to his children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren was that he was serving the Lord and they would serve the Lord as well. So he was very clearly and unmistakably taking his stand to serve the one true living God until his last breath. And to lead his family to do the same. Oh, beloved, that more fathers today would stand up in their homes and say, hey, guys, look, you need to know something. That I'm going to serve the Lord, and you're going to serve him with me. Oh, that we had more families that would take the stand. We may look different than the rest of our community. We may look different than the rest of the people that we work with. We may look different than the people at school, but let me tell you something. We're going to serve the Lord, even if nobody else is doing it, even if they point fingers at us, even if they scratch their heads and wonder, why are we so crazy? We're going to serve the Lord. Amen? Amen. Oh, that we would take that leadership as the body of Christ, as the people of Jesus, who would be the disciples and be those who would serve people. To be unmistakable, to serve the Lord as we're serving others. You see, when you serve the Lord, that reveals something about you to the to your family. It reveals something about you to the world, that you're willing to point others to Jesus through your life, that you're willing to be different from the rest of the world, that you're willing to be an example of what it is to follow Jesus. Serving the Lord indicates that a decision has been made by you for all to see, revealing who it is, who is your first love. It reveals that you've left the old life, that you're totally devoted to Jesus, and that you're willing to work and willing to toil wherever, however, as a labor of love for the Lord, and that you're being loyal and obedient and faithful to your King, who is not just any king, he's the King of all kings. Joshua stepped up and he stepped out and he made it plain, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hey, what about you? Where are you on this disciple's path? Are you satisfied just sitting on the sidelines? Well, beloved, if that's you, I would encourage you to evaluate your relationship with Jesus, because your serving indicates loving, leaving, labor, your loyalty, and your leadership. Do you know this Jesus? The one that we remembered by taking the Lord's Supper today, do you know him as the Savior and Lord of your life? The one who died for you and rose again? He calls to you to come to him. He calls you to rescue you, to redeem you. He has ransomed us if we'll trust him by faith. Do you know this Jesus? If not, know him today by turning from your sin and believing that he is who he says he is, the Son of God who died for us and rose again. He has not changed. His power has not diminished. He is still the Lord, and he is still able to save. Amen. One thing to do that I have for you today, and then we're done, and that is this. Serve the Lord by serving others. Serve the Lord by serving others. You know, as I live in this generation and this culture, one thing that I've noticed about this generation, this culture in which we live, is that there are people all around us who are always seeking to outdo us in some way or another. Y'all notice that? People are always trying to outdo each other on how their yards look. Maybe that's someplace. Can I get a witness, right? You know, we see how they've done their yard, or that's so, I've got to get this, and I've got, they got a new thing. I got to get that. And so we're always trying to outdo each other. If it's not our yard, it's a car. If it's not that, it's on the renovations of our house. Always trying to outdo. Beloved, let me tell you something, what we need to do as believers in Jesus. We should always strive to outserve other people. Amen. Okay? And doing so, not for our glory, but for his glory. Serving the Lord. Now, let me ask you one more question. Wherever you live, in your neighborhood, wherever you work, the people that you've been around, the people that you've known for a year, a couple years, or even a few months, as you've been around them, are they any closer today to knowing Jesus than when you first moved in? Are they any closer to knowing Jesus than when you first set your cubicle up next to theirs? You see, how we are serving wherever we are is an indicator that you love the Lord, and your life should be an example that points people to Jesus as you continue to talk about him as well. Let's seek to outserve, but in all things, meeting them where they are and pointing them to Jesus Christ. Amen. As God has dealt with your heart today, if you're online and you need us to pray for you, would love for us to pray for you or pray with you, send us an email at info@mpbclife.com. For those of you in-house, by the way, it's good to see all of you all here today as we're in-house. If the Lord has dealt with your heart, you want us to pray for you or just want us to pray about something with you, the pastors are going to be outside under the portico. We'll take time to do that. But let's pray together and then we'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love and your mercy. Lord, may you have your way in our hearts and lives. Lord, as we continue on this journey of the disciples' path to see what it is to serve, Lord, may you continually just grab hold of our hearts and help us, Lord, to see that as we serve, it's not because we have to, it's because we get to. That because of your love for us, it propels us, it compels us to go forward and to serve because of our love for you. Not because we're earning our salvation, but because our salvation has been done for us. So Lord, I pray that you would have your way in us to be the people of God, to be those disciples, to guide us, Lord. And that this very week that we would seek to serve others and may be a part of who we are as disciples, that even in this serving, that we would give you all the glory and point people to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.